You have promised to help us in our lives. You have promised to reveal your word to us. So we pray that you will teach us from it this day to honour you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be prepared. Be prepared, as many of you know, is the motto of the Guide and Scout movement. Do you know, BP stands also for Baden-Powell, who started that movement, and I never realised that until this last week. Shows how your memory doesn't actually catch on to things, doesn't it? Anyway, be prepared. Are you preparing for Christmas? Have you got it under your belt and kept on going? And the commercial world is telling us time after time after time, get ready for Christmas. We should be doing that. That's what they're saying. They are bombarding us with adverts on the television, on iPhones and iPads, everywhere. It's hitting us, hitting us. And some of it is actually very clever. And Barbara's noticed something about that. And then I watched the kind of advert and it says, to be continued. And you think, well, that's interesting. They're trying to drag us in to this commercialism. That's what it's about. So how do you feel about this kind of stuff that's hitting you right now? Recently, people in Jamaica were having to prepare for the future. They were using their homes. They were putting boards up to protect those homes. And then they knew, sadly, that a terrible hurricane would come with devastating results. But they were preparing and hoping to prevent loss of life. And today, Remembrance Sunday reminds us of those who sacrificed their lives for us and for many in the wars. And particularly, we reflect this day of the Second World War, which ended 80 years ago. And some of us were around during that time. And we remember some things of the preparations that took place. There were, in gardens, they started building special shelters that could house about six people from the neighbourhood. There were some preparations made, but not a lot. They were trying to prepare very much the last time for a possible attack on England. Now, my wife Barbara's father had been a regular army soldier, and then he'd left the army but was suddenly called back at a moment's notice, really just before the war actually happened. In today's parable, Jesus referred to a traditional Jewish wedding ceremony. And at that time, it was a very special event. It was of an event for the community, not just for the wedding family and that kind of thing. It was a special occasion to celebrate, and it would last not just for a few hours, but for days. That's what happened. And that was still happening, this traditional ceremony, in the 1950s. I'm not quite sure how much after that, I've not been able to trace that. But it was a custom for the bridegroom to come and collect his bride and her friends. They were called the virgins. But none of them knew when that would be. They weren't to know until suddenly he appeared. So they had to be prepared for the bridegroom coming. And especially they had to be prepared if he came in the dark. And so it was their role to accompany the bridegroom and the bride to his home. So at night, the girls would carry torches, as it is referred to in the Bible. Here, in actual fact, you could call them lamps, or they said lamps in the Bible, sorry, if they were torches. They were made from oil-soaked rags and put on a stick. That's what they're torches were. That's what their lamps were. In the parable, the bridegroom was on his way. So here, we have to be prepared. And the wise were prepared. They were ready. They'd got their act together. And the foolish were not prepared, were they? Why? Because their oil had run out and they didn't have any extra supplies at hand. So the foolish asked for help. But what did the wise do? They refused to help. Why? Wasn't that ungenerous? Unkind? Well, not really, because this is what Sylvia Collinson, an Australian theologian, said. Sharing limited supplies would mean that no one would be able to fulfill their responsibilities. A matter of most importance that the virgin should accompany the bride and the groom and be with them. That was for their responsibilities. So whilst the foolish went off to get oil, the bridegroom suddenly appeared. And he and the bride and the wise virgins went along the village street, no doubt, back to his home. So they went in, and then the door was shut, and the banquet began. So when the foolish came, the door was shut. They couldn't get in. And that was normal. That normal custom carried on and on down the centuries, it did. And when they asked to be let in, the amazing reply was this: "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." What a striking comment that the bridegroom was saying, "I don't know you." So there was a division between those who were prepared and those who were unprepared. Jesus' comment was this: "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." You do not know the day or the hour when Jesus Christ will return. In the previous chapter, the one that we read, we are told this, that only the Father knows when the Son of Man will return. And when he comes, it said there will be division. And talked about a kind of agricultural community that was there, of course, and it said there'll be two men in a field. One will be taken, the other remain. And then there'll be two women out there. There were women who actually were grinding corn. One will be taken, the other will remain. That seems quite startling, but this is what Jesus is saying. Therefore, he said, keep watch, because you do not know what day the Lord will come. He could come in 5 minutes or 5,000 years. Jesus did not know. His Father had not told him. So he says, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come when you do not expect him. And I think he repeated this because of the importance of these words. So you and I, if we are his followers, need to be prepared for his coming again. Into a world dominated by commercialism, dominated by self-interest, as we know. Sad, isn't it, that many wealthy nations of the world will not help support poor nations, in example for Africa, when rich businessmen will demand interest and not be kind and loving. This is what our world is like in many ways. So we need to prepare. Ruth said last week, the world, when he comes, will be restored and all will be made new. And that is lovely and positive. So, we can be prepared. We should be prepared for Jesus' return by praying, by allowing God to speak to us, by letting him showing us what we should do. Maybe something unexpected, a challenge, real challenge for you to do something you never thought you could be asked to do. But God can be with you in that and help you. Or it might be something quite ordinary. Go and visit so-and-so. Have you phoned anybody for the last 6 months? Perhaps you should. Do we sometimes give Jesus the chance to prompt us? God the chance to stir us up and do something? So we need to listen to him. We need to listen to him as he speaks to us in different ways. Of course, through the Bible, through people, maybe through a casual conversation, maybe through a sermon, or as we pray with others, and sometimes just being silent before him. I'm not very good at being silent, as Barbara will tell you. I've got to get on and do. That's a challenge that came to me this week. Why don't you spend more time being silent before me so that you will know what I want you to do this day or next week or whatever? So, are we preparing for Christmas in the right way to celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world for that very first time? And are we serving and living for him in the expectation of his coming again? End of Revelation says, come, Lord Jesus. May we be ready for his coming.